Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, That's video right. feeds,
and more.
And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of the .show-ness of it. Of it all. I don't know what's on there. T-shirts.
Yeah, we got t-shirts and we got
a bunch
the links
of our failed
socials.
Endeavors. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our old friend, former TV journalist, and alum at the Tech Museum of Innovation, Marika Krause.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. What's new?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited. Longtime listener. Actually, I listened to one of your first episodes when you guys launched a long time ago. So, and never again. This is the first time after that.
Well, I think that was our peak, honestly. So I don't think you missed anything. Okay. So we went to Colorado State University together. You were a journalism major, right? Not communications?
I was. Yep. Broadcast journalism.
I was journalism. Willie, you were journalism.
Yep. Uh-huh.
There was a bunch of communications.
Technical journalism.
Technical journalism.
Actually, journalism and technical communications, to be specific, was it?
Oh, is that what it was called?
Just a little fact check there. Yeah.
When I put it on my resume, I just call it television production.
Yeah.
I
think we all adapt it to what we need it to be. Yeah. Those were good years for us. We had like brand new equipment and a lot of freedom. You guys had launched a comedy show that was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, according to your bio that I read, former TV journalist. So you at least did a little bit of it.
Yeah. I worked for mostly NBC, most recently NBC Bay Area TV news producer. So I was born.
So you came out to California also.
Yeah. So I put in some time in the small market and then got lucky kind of right before big bust in 2008, got hired at NBC Bay Area and worked there for about 7 years before a couple
That's
of the jobs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's so
yeah.
cool.
I got like, it was cool. It was definitely, I don't know that I realized quite the power I yielded. I was in my 20s and like, you know, talking about things that I'm realizing now why they're like veteran journalists who used to like shake their fists and get annoyed at us like 20-year-olds who thought we knew everything coming in and producing the news. But no, it was fun. I learned a lot. I was terrible to go on tours with because so was the Bay Area. And, friends would come and visit and I would be like, oh yeah, there was a triple homicide there. And oh, yeah, this thing happened here. And oh yeah, carjackings are common. Like for a while I was just terrible, but then I got
out. Oh, and here's Fisherman's Wharf.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. But yeah, then I
I have a question about anybody who lives in the Bay Area, because I don't understand how, were you making enough money to actually live?
Oh man, I don't know. I've been so lucky. I remember writing my rent check when I first moved out here, and it was the biggest check I'd ever written in my life, and it was $1,300. And I remember, because I had moved from Pueblo, like tiny little town, 2 hours south of Denver, and was paying like $300 for a huge one bedroom. And I just remember calling.
Pueblo, I mean, I'm trying to figure out like
it's a truck
what
stop
the
town.
California version of Pueblo would be like. Probably something we haven't even heard of. Riverside, maybe
it would be like Riverside. Like, it's close to Riverside. Riverside's train centric, but yeah, like commerce goes through there, and there's workers.
So you go from like, first of all, you're in Colorado, which is not as expensive as California, and you're also in a cheap town in Colorado, and then you go to the most expensive town in the biggest economy of America.
Yeah, I was young and really dumb, I'll be honest.
No, but like, so $1,300 is not that bad. And this must have been 20 years ago or something.
I know. But yeah. Like, that's what I was thinking too. Was it
$1,300 is good.
Oh, no, it wasn't bad. But at the time, it felt huge. I remember I was like, I'll put away for retirement. And I like had to call NBC and be like, I don't know if I can afford this. Please stop taking money out of my check. HR for a little bit. It's bad. Yeah, but then I got like, I think what actually saved me from a lot of layoffs though was like I was dumb and young and not getting paid enough, and that kept me like on the bottom of a lot of it. So I was fortunate.
Did you and do you now live in San Francisco, or where are you at?
No, I'm in San Jose. So
okay,
about an hour south, 45 minutes south. It's a little more neighborhood vibe. My friends all lived in San Francisco and the north. I knew San Francisco way more than I knew San Jose, but now like San Jose's home and we have a pretty good local art scene. And
is that where the festival was that you, so our friend Greg Stees made a short that Wade and I were both in, and Marika went to the festival and saw us, which was,
CineQuest. It's a really great film festival. In fact, other friends of ours have had documentaries that they've submitted anyway, and they said the most views they got were in San Jose and that they had wished they'd gone to CineQuest. It's a pretty great film festival.
What's the premise of the festival? Is it just independent film, or you said documentary? So I was,
oh, well, they have some doc. My favorites are actually the shorts. And that's why I think I saw your, I love going and just seeing, cause then if it's like really bad, you know, it's going to be over pretty quickly.
Sure. But,
the shorts are just like, it spans, I don't think it has like a specific genre or anything to it. They pick a different theme every year. Usually because we're Silicon Valley, it'll be like innovation, you know, like something
broad,
like flashy or wrong. Blank,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just locally produced and they do, you know, it's been around every year. Got hard, you know, during COVID, I think, but they're still.
Do they do full length features?
Yeah, yeah. And they have a Maverick Award. Actually, it was cool. Fred Armisen, I've seen him, and Emilio Estevez have come. Danny Glover have come to debut some like projects that they've been working on. So they'll do an award for just different folks in the, they call it like the Spirit Maverick Spirit Award for, I don't know. I feel like I'm plugging this and it really, I'm just a fan of it. It's right, a cool, yeah, it is a really cool, like it's just, it's a cool feature, I guess, of San Jose for sure.
So you went from Colorado to the Bay Area, yeah?
Yeah.
And then did you grow up in Colorado?
I did, yeah. Denver area. Okay.
Which suburb?
Well, my mom, I grew up actually like right across the street from the Mile High Stadium. And then for high school, moved out to like Wheat Ridge, kind of on the west side.
Lakeside.
It's actually kind of culture shock. It's very different areas at the time, but
yeah, Lakeside is ghetto.
Is Lakeside in Wheat Ridge?
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah, my mom's like 2 minute drive from there. Yeah,
but I never went to Lakeside.
The South Park guys.
Lakeside is an entertainment park.
Oh my gosh, have you been to Casa Bonita yet? Have you guys been back?
I'm hoping to go this week. We supposedly have a friend that can get us in. We'll see. Nice. Without a wait.
Yeah, I don't know if you talked about Casa Bonita and the South Park guys and how they like brought it back to life, but it's like a real thing from those episodes that a lot of people
don't know about. Yeah. I feel like we've talked about it because we talk a lot about Colorado stuff. And there's a really good documentary about them bringing it back.
Yeah.
The whole state wanted to go there. My sister got reservations and there were 45,000 people in front of her.
Yeah.
It's calmed down now though, right? Yeah. I think like now you can just show up and stand in line.
They
released them like a month ahead of time. I think. And then it might be a little bit calmed down where you could show up and do it, but I've actually
Have you gone?
Yeah. Right. It's really great for a couple. Well, I grew up going there and it was kind of like the splurge when grandma would come to town, or actually I went there before homecoming 1 year, like just like a group of us in our like fancy whatever dresses.
Sure. But,
because it's so close. Like I had friends who did the puppeteer show, like that actually worked there. So when I saw the documentary and how horrible it was, like everyone knew the food was horrible. Like that's been the running gag forever. Right. But in the documentary, you know, they show that the cliff divers had to like swim the hole that they swam
go up through that the, oh. a little hole covered in wires, just open wires.
Like so, like it actually tracks. It does track if you really think about it. But at the same time, like it was mind blowing. But yeah, it's really cool. I feel like it's a little geared towards adults that like love, you know, like that loved it. So I'd be curious. I haven't gone. I have a 5-year-old now. I haven't gone with him, so I'd be curious to see how much of it he really loves. But I think they did a good job. I think they've captured the spirit of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think like your 5-year-old would probably love it because all those little caverns and stuff to explore, those are still there, right?
I think
and now the mannequins are just like calling you a pussy or something. Right, that's the trays, just like, and then this mannequin calls someone a pussy, and then like...
I remember that.
No, I'm joking. Let's get into more kind of like sci-fi conspiracy stuff. Like, are you into that world at all? I mean, you're a journalist. You were an actual practicing journalist at one point. So you must have some sort of curiosity. So when you see these things come around, how deep do you dive into them?
As a journalist, I'm like a skeptic. Like, I'm curious, but I want to ask questions. What's like knowing the source of information, I think, is really important.
Yeah, totally.
Some things I'll dive into, but at the end of the day, like, you know, I want the facts and what's happening now and that it came from a credible source and that.
Yeah. What's your favorite fun one to dive into?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't really play in the world of conspiracy too much.
Okay. Well, let me help you out then. Please. Let's do the WoW scale.
WoW scale.
The WoW scale stands for Wait or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wait. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wait on the WoW scale?
Ooh, yes. Let's do it.
Okay. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
The probability that there is life in our galaxy, there has to be. I believe that there's life. Do I believe that they've come here? I don't know. No, like, no, I'd have to see some more evidence of that. I think there's a lot of stories out there about people feel this way or like a third person's cousin of whatever. I'd want to see more. Although, I mean, I know people argue, like, could the pyramids have been possible during that time? Like, I think that's a fun one to play with. Because I worked at a science center, too. And I think when you think about technology and how it advances, like, there is something to be said, like, could they have had that kind of technology back then? Is an interesting concept to me, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Question number 2, ghosts.
Oh, I mean, no, but I, like, every once in a while, though, I do feel like a spiritual thing of, like, is my grandmother, like, what, like, you, when you, in a moment when you get, like, a feeling of someone that you care
about. I know, is she watching me masturbate? Like, I think that every day.
Oh, my God.
Or if you see a hummingbird, so many people, like, associate hummingbirds with grandma.
Oh, grandma's God. Here.
It makes me laugh.
Had a dragonfly thing, which is interesting.
I have a friend who has a dragonfly thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's dead. He's the dragonfly.
Wait.
From what I heard.
Does that mean you're not fully weighed on your Wade to Willie scale if you think that?
No, I just heard that. I don't believe it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to like encapsulate my thoughts into like a scale. I do believe that you can manifest your own destiny and that there are signs that the universe will put out. And I think, like, if you decide that your dead husband is a dragonfly, cool, go ahead. Like, if that helps you in some way, you know, if you're having a bad day and then you see a dragonfly and then you're in a good mood, all right, fine.
Yeah, I dig that.
But I don't know that the dead husband, like, sent that dragonfly, but whatever.
Just a funny, cool ghost story that I heard one time. There was somebody who, and you know, this could be made up also, but some stranger walked up to a man and said, I just feel compelled to tell you that my leg hurts really bad. I don't know why. I just have to tell you that. And then the man started crying because he made a deal with his dad. If he could ever communicate somehow to him, they had to come up with some kind of clue or secret word to be like, this is your dad talking to you. And the clue that they came up with was his leg hurts. So some random stranger got this channeled message to like deliver to them. Fun story.
It's an interesting story because why would that be your clue? Like in what form were you expecting that to be delivered to you? You know, and I guess we've got the answer, some stranger, but why would that be your clue? Why wouldn't it just be like hot air balloons? If you see a hot air balloon, because how often do you see one of those? Like never.
Yeah.
It just had to be something to be like, no one would ever think of this. So, yeah.
And then this stranger is crazy enough to just go up and say, like, I feel compelled to tell you that my leg.
I know. Picture the nagging ghost like, telling me leg hurts. Can you hear me? Do you even
hear me? He's going to think I'm an idiot. Yeah, I don't want to do it. No, he'll be cool. All right, so no on ghosts. What about Bigfoot?
Ugh, no.
Yeah. Don't say it like that.
Sorry, Willie. Sorry, Willie. There's even, you guys know there's a Bigfoot museum here, right, Felton?
Me, who believes in Bigfoot, here I am talking trash. The museum's kind of a turnoff.
Hmm. Yeah.
In what way?
They sell like the prints, you know, that have been, what do you
like
call it?
Plaster prints?
Yeah. Yeah. They sell plaster prints and they're really expensive.
What are you going to do
and
with that?
They don't look that
good. It's
like
good. an ugly accoutrement to your apartment. Like, here's a plaster foot. Like, even if it's Bigfoot, like, I just, what do you do with it? You hang it on a wall?
And they have, it's kind of like a hodgepodge of Bigfoot in media of all forms. So you can buy Bigfoot book, Bigfoot picture from Harry and
so
the Hendersons.
So you just don't like it because it's capitalism?
Yeah, it's so gimmicky that it's like, oh, fuck. I mean,
it's kitschy and it's not lending to the greed of fucking, yeah.
You're not convincing anyone.
Is it not like a huge subculture? Like people who believe in Bigfoot, it's like a big, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So I
think it's big enough. I don't know if it's huge. I mean, there's Bigfoot hunters just like there's storm hunters, right? Only storm hunters can like identify and see the thing they're going after.
Exactly.
All right. Number four. Was 9/11 an inside job?
No. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. That one drives me crazy.
Okay, no. An emphatic no.
Okay. Sorry that was an emphatic. I do have PTSD.
No, don't be sorry. Wait, why do you have PTSD about it?
After. Well, because,
really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Were you in Colorado or were you in California?
I was the news director of KCSU, the radio station. Okay. And I remember I was on the bus, and I heard like the way it was presented at first was like, I remember thinking, oh, that's dumb. Who would fly a plane into a building? Like it wasn't very serious at first because, you know, we were also delayed from East Coast to Middle East.
Sure. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like then by the time I got to CTV, KCSU, the TV station, like we were all just like jaws dropped watching everything on television. Anyway.
Wait, at what time? Like when you got to CTV, was the second tower still?
Oh, no. I watched the second plane hit live on TV. Yeah. I guess I have no time for nonsense that, because I think there were people that were at the beginning even arguing that it even happened, like that people, you know, people didn't like die even or like lots of stuff. So, that for me, maybe it's also just since I lived through that one, you know, we all experienced it, people our age, but.
Well, let me ask you this then. Was JFK assassination an inside job?
That's interesting. I haven't looked into it enough, I'll be honest.
Sure. Me neither.
Like, I don't know all the details. I would argue no, because again, I just, as a journalist, I believe that truth comes to light at some point. Like someone will have seen something, someone will say something to someone. Now, whether we will believe that person is credible is another thing. But I do the MLK assassination. I will say that I've come around on that a little bit in thinking that maybe our government had a hand in that.
He died of suffocation. I won't go into it. He died. He survived the shot.
Listen.
Yeah.
You don't have to go that far. All you, Willie, to get people on your side, all you have to say is like, yeah, the CIA
is it possible?
Did it. Don't get into that the cause of death is different. Like you're jumping too far. You need to build a ladder. You know, you can't just like form this wall.
I just throw the wall out there because I'm like, well, I don't want to get into it.
Well, and if you sound confident enough and you repeat the same thing over and over, even just like, well, and you know that this thing happened, it makes you feel, oh, no, I didn't, Willie. Thank you for telling me that.
Right. One of the points that I'm going to push back on you against is the journalism point, because we're seeing it right now. The journalists in this country just report whatever the police tell them to.
Oh, okay. You're going to
They do. They do. I'm so pissed from being a journalism major and like always having like a soft spot for journalists. Like, oh, they're detectives, but they're like doing it for the public good. And now all they do is report whatever the fucking cops say.
A few things on that. First of all, I hate when people say the media. The media makes it sound like this big conspiracy theory media. On the other hand, media has conglomerated a lot, even, and it felt that way when I was there to an extent, but there was more competition, right? And now, like, you're seeing less competition. When I think about the media, I try to remember, like, I have friends who are still, who are journalists, who really are...
They're shills for the cops, dude.
No,
these protests. I watched the AP feed of all these protests that happened this weekend. That's all I did. I sat at home and I watched all, because I wanted to know. I wanted to know for myself.
How accurate, yeah.
Where the violence is coming from. 100% it's coming from the cops. But all the stories on it are LA needs to do better. We're on a public stage. It's like, motherfucker, tell your fucking pigs that.
Sorry. That's heavy, Wade. This is from someone. So I organized a march for Science Silicon Valley. And then a few years later, I was involved in organizing two women's marches. And then COVID happened and the Black Lives Matter protests happened. And I will say that, like, it drove me crazy when people were like, oh, I participated in these marches and they were all peaceful. They were all peaceful. Well, in the marches that I helped organize, the cops were like, here, please take over the streets. They weren't there with, like, batons and rubber bullets and get, like, it was very different. And even right. I had friends who organized Women's March who were hit by rubber bullets in the Black Lives Matter after George Floyd, those protests. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it has shifted my perspective, and I do get really frustrated when I don't wear it as a badge of honor to be like, I peacefully protested. Although I believe that peaceful protest is important, I do think it's a matter of privilege how much force you're met with, for sure. But to the journalist thing, I mean, they're just going to show you, it's partly the public's doing, because we want to watch, like, they're getting money on ratings. They're, yeah. I mean, not all of them think about it like this, but what we're watching, right? And then that's how we don't have, it's why, like, NPR and getting defunding a lot of our public media is really unfortunate, because I think they're a really solid source of news that verifies facts and is important. Yeah. But I mean, I'll agree with you. I really hated how LA has been portrayed, and that it's also, I think people don't realize, like, how big is it? It's not that big of an area of LA that's...
it's a couple blocks.
Yeah. And
everyone thinks, like, the city's burning. Yeah.
And the more horrifying thing to me isn't the media as much as, like, the people who are so ready to have the government turn troops on our own people. Like, it's wild. As someone who cares about history and context, like, that's pretty horrifying. I don't know. I think poor journalists are in a really hard place because
they need to get the attention.
It's attention, but also, what is truth if we're report, you know, like, they're getting shut out of the White House press room, right? For telling,
right.
Asking hard questions. But they kind of have a duty to be there so that they can report on what's being said. Like, it's a hard time, I think, just for our democracy right now. But
I'm just like, whatever. Let's move on.
I'm just like, whatever. United States.
I just, these whatever. Fucking journalists right now, like, where's the journalists with, like, some balls who are going to stand up to these conglomerates who own them and, like, actually report some fucking facts?
I will say, I never in my years in a major television owned and operated newsroom felt like I was told how I could cover a story ever. Like, and I don't think most journalists are, but you do have examples like Joy Reid, who got fired, right? Like, and what's her name from MSNBC? Oh, I met her and I'm blanking. Anyway, she was covering Black Lives Matter before it was really a big deal, and they took her show away from her. Melissa Harris Perry. Anyway, I'd be careful not to lump, like, all of journalists into that category. That's all.
I'm not lumping all of them. I'm saying, if you get a quote from the NYPD or the LAPD that says, like, yeah, the protesters started throwing rocks at us and shit, then fucking get a quote from the protesters who says, no, we didn't do that. We threw that shit after because they started tear gassing us. Like, that quote is not in any of these articles.
Yeah.
And I saw it happen.
Yeah, I'll say, like, TikTok and social media are really changing the game in terms of, like, that.
It's great, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, last question. The multiverse. Do you believe the multiverse could exist?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, do you...
Is there another America out there doing something else?
No, I don't think... I think scientifically that's... Well, I'm going to say no, but I could be persuaded.
Do you remember Sliders, the show with Jerry O'Connell?
Yes, I loved that show.
Okay.
Nice.
Remember how he's sliding to, like, all these different worlds and their only rules are like, oh, the red lights are green here or whatever. Do you think that could happen?
I mean, does it matter? Like, that's a weird one because it's like, oh, wait, assuming that I can travel there? The whole point doesn't matter?
No, you couldn't try. I don't. Just does it exist? Could that exist? That there's a whole nother universe that's just like Earth, only a little different.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll say that could happen. It could exist.
You got like, we're going to call it, we'll say a 1.5. You got a 1.5 on the WoW scale. So 0 is Wade, 5 is Willy, you're a 1.5. How does that feel?
Okay. That feels good. That feels good.
Feels right?
Yeah.
Feels right?
Feels right.
All right.
I'm pretty skeptical. Okay, cool. I like to argue, obviously, so...
This is going to be a fun episode then. I don't know what we're talking about. Willie, hit us with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, quantum jumping. Science shows that some quantum particles like electrons phase in and out of being observed. This quantum leap defines a new way of manifesting and vibrating, or quantum jumping, into the reality you want. We'll talk about how to do it and if we think it's real or sci-fi tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. I just want to talk about this. I'm going to go over this real quick. There are key concepts in quantum physics today that make this topic real. And time out real quick. Hey, don't tickle me, dude.
Is that Moose?
Moose. Hey, say hi. You're supposed to sleep, dude.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, I'm doing the show, dude.
Oh, no, he's being attacked.
So key concepts, wave-particle duality. There's only four I want to talk about real quick. Particles can behave both as waves and as discrete as particles, depending on how they're observed. So that is the slit experiment. Superposition. Quantum systems can exist in multiple states at once until measured or observed. And all of these things, like Einstein, Niels Bohr, all these guys talked about this stuff. Entanglement. Yeah. Particles can become entangled, meaning the state of one particle instantaneously affects the state of another one, regardless of the distance. So like, that's how they're like trying to communicate with stuff out in space by like entangling particles and then sending information through them. And then quantum tunneling, particles can transition between energy states without traversing the space in between. So that's what we're getting at is when you look at electrons, this is just a quick example. They phase in and out of existence, boom, 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 in the different areas. And so the idea is if quantum physics can prove that this happens naturally in all states of matter, can we act that way too? Can we phase in and out of existences? And now so these parallel realities, I just want to just say this real quick, because I know, America, you weren't really into this idea. If there's another version of you, it's on the quantum level because of consciousness. The splits happen because of your consciousness. They're not actually physical realities, the same way that an electron can jump from a different place and still be the same electron. You can jump to different versions of your consciousness that had different experiences and learn stuff from those different realities.
Like, I would know what I knew there here.
So there's a couple different versions of quantum jumping. One version is if you know what you want or can idealize a different reality that you would like to exist in, you can vibrate your... So if there are multiple realities and the only difference between these realities that are all in the same space is like tuning a radio station, you can vibrate yourself into the reality that you want. So when you have negative thoughts, you accidentally, without you knowing or having power over, well, you do have the power, but you basically vibrate into the worst version because you're just constantly thinking of the worst things.
I know it's that this like, involuntary versus voluntary. Like your heart beats, right? You don't mean for it to.
Yeah.
So if you have a negative thought, you switch into a worse reality.
Yeah, if you don't believe in possibilities, then those possibilities are closed off from you, and slowly but surely you sink into a reality that
is this a science thing or a self-help thing?
It's a little bit of both. One of these ideas I want to talk about, and this is kind of something that Brian Clark is putting out there, and also, you know, he gets some of his stuff from what's that guy's name? Joe Dispenza. But it's really like changing your brain and basically using science quantumly to change your existence. But what Brian is saying is that he has a technique, and through meditation and whatnot, if these parallel realities exist, when you're meditating and you jump into a different universe. So he claims that he jumped into a universe where he could play the piano, and he downloaded some of that information, and then all of a sudden he could play piano without any lessons.
Well, wait, hang on. How do you mean he downloaded it?
So his technique is that...
Okay, so he's meditating, and then so he like imagines a world where he can play piano.
Well, he kind of does this thing where...
And then he downloads it?
If there's all these different realities, you meditate and you jump into this void and you expand your consciousness, you can kind of direct which different reality you want to learn something from. So you jump into that reality, and then when you experience it and witness it, you're still connected to this reality. You can jump back into yours, but take information with you.
Does he have a class on how to do that?
Of course, he has a book, and he...
Okay, so he's selling.
But Wade, couldn't do it, Wade, because your mind isn't open to the possibilities, right?
Oh, well, you got me way wrong. My mind's totally open to all these possibilities. I just said you can manifest stuff. I believe that like this world is completely made up, and it is what you make. And here's why. Here's why, America. Because like I've had friends who just constantly are getting shit on, and they have like a bad attitude, and like getting picked up by the police and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why is that happening to you over and over again, like way more than anyone else? And I know that once you're in the system, they're looking out for you more and like fuck cops and stuff. But it just made me go like, well, there's no real reason to be negative ever. Like, you should just like sort of go through life being like, if the best, I'm just entertaining, like the best things are going to happen to me. I'm not even going to think about the negative things, because I do believe in like the sort of like this manifestation thing. I kind of think that we live in like a simulation. I think that when we die, we're going to be like light beings who just played this game for a second to be like, it might be fun to like, I don't know, have to eat or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is like just like the base level of existence, like having to eat and take a shit. Like, that's the dumbest shit in the world, right? Like, that's so stupid. Eating's fun, but like, it seems a lot cooler to me if you can just go out there and just kind of do whatever and you don't have any needs.
And in the same vein, to support what you're saying, like, evolution should have worked out that we don't need to like find food.
I got a confession to make, and I don't know if this is gross or not, and I'm
it probably is gross given the good.
I want to get your thoughts, because who knows how clean your kitchen sink is, but I was draining some pasta and some of the noodles, I slipped the lid or whatever, and some of the noodles got onto the sink and in the drain a little bit.
Also, look, I have a 5-year-old, and I've seen we've gone through potty train, and a dog. Like, I'm kind of, my gross level is pretty, I have a high tolerance at the moment. But
here's a question for you. Will you drink out of your son's water bottle?
I try not to, because it does gross me out. But I mean, our germs are the same anyway, is how I feel. But
I can't do it.
No, well, but really?
Kids are always sick. Because
he spits
though.
Back out. He spits out. I mean,
yeah, why?
On my own, but.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
It's just a spit thing.
Kids are so anyway, not clean like your cat, Wade. That's the thing, is it's like, anyway.
Well, I don't share a drink with my cat.
But you would with your kid.
I've never thought about it. I'm honestly cool
with the sink. As soon as it hits the middle part, it's done. But I also, maybe I could rinse it off. Maybe I could rinse it off under the faucet.
Okay, well, that's what I did. I scooped it all up. I rinsed it off. I threw it back in the pan and like kind of like cooked it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I didn't get sick.
You want to be like absolved of this? That was an okay thing to do, Wade.
I think I'm a little bit more relaxed about food safety than I maybe should be. I don't know. Somebody on Reddit posted like, oh man, I went to this barbecue and they used the same container that the raw hamburger came in to serve the cooked burgers.
No, thank you.
Oh,
but I've been to weddings, Armenian weddings, where they're just eating raw beef. Like it comes out on a platter and it's just raw beef and they love it.
The problem with the container is as soon as like,
problem. I mean, we all know that these feedlots are like,
well, it's a contamination problem, right? Like E. coli. Yeah,
if you eat raw ground beef and nothing happens to you, then what could be on that container?
When I walk my dog and she takes a poop, the fly hits the poop before I can get the bag out. And so I just think that there's just bugs everywhere.
You think what?
The same fly that just landed on the shit.
Land on your picnic food.
It's going to land on that container that no one's paying attention to.
Doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. Like, you know that there's fecal matter in everything that you eat.
Yeah.
It's true. You just have to get over it. You just have to not think about it. And if you don't get sick, it's very easy to not think about. Anyway.
But how do you know you're not in the situation that you just described?
Yeah.
You don't know you're not going to get sick. So
it was yesterday.
Try to go buy food safe. Yeah, but you took the risk, which is fine.
Right. But I am here to report that nothing happened.
That your garbage noodles, you survived.
My garbage sink noodles were fine.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm too cheap. I was like, that's too many noodles. I can't throw away
these
noodles.
That was the other thing I was thinking is if you were going to recook them anyway, I don't know. That's fine. I get it. I've been there.
It's because I do meal delivery kits and I only have that many noodles. I can't like make more.
Okay.
That's all they give me. And it's only 700 calories and it's all I eat. So I need like every single one of those calories. So I'll get over salmonella or whatever's in a sink. Well, but aren't kitchen sinks supposed to be kind of clean? Like you clean them a lot, right?
Yeah. You know what I don't clean is that rubber part that leads to the
That's disposal. The part that grossed me out in that story.
There's no disposal.
Okay.
Oh. I don't have a disposal. I just have a drain, which is another reason that I had to like scoop it up. I'm like grossing myself out. I don't even like touching the stuff.
I'm talking about wet food. That's gross. Yeah.
Anyway, it turned out okay. I'm fine.
So I'll do the quick version. Basically, his technique is he does something called fire breathing. So first off, you got to be in a good mental state and a good physical state. Can't be tired, stressed. Keep a journal when you want to start doing this. You have to be open to the idea of things. So the way that our brain works is that our brain focuses on whatever is more interesting. So let's say you if you quantum jumped into a realm where something was really different. Let's say in this reality, your mom had passed away. Well, if you just jump to that reality, focus on that so much, you're not going to learn anything because your brain is focusing on some weird negative thing instead of like accepting. You got to accept that, get over it, and try to find information. So you got to be open to the different realities, right? His technique is he does fire breathing, sharpen the nose out fast for like 30 seconds. Well, first off, you take 5 minutes to like relax yourself, make sure you're loose, your spine is straight, but not like constricted in any way. Do the fire breathing for like 5 minutes. Relax. Then you do fire breathing for like 30 seconds. And you
hyperventilating.
It is. But what you're doing is you're building energy within your body. It's amplifying energy.
So then you go, okay, so you fire breathe, then you start meditating.
For 30 seconds, right? And then when that happens, you're supposed to get into this void state. So you do that for 30 seconds, then you try to meditate. And if you get to this void state, it's just kind of like this empty area. Some people say that it feels like space. Some people says it just feels like
they have nothing
open or empty.
It's a bad comparison because they've never been in space. So they don't know what that feels like.
It's weird because the first time that I ever really meditated, I was in space. So when I meditate, there's a party in my brain and everything is invited. That way, if I hear a siren, it doesn't piss me off to go like, well, shit, I'm trying to meditate. What the fuck is going on now? Or the neighbors pounding stuff. So every sound it's about focusing on sound and letting it all in. When you get to this void state, you're going to feel things that could take you out of it real quickly. Like you could feel dizzy. You're vibrating into a different reality. And so you might feel like you're falling for a second. these are things that just take you out of it real quick. So you have to like try to like get your mind ready to accept feeling uneasy, even whether it be mentally or physically in this non-physical area.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the void, try to think of expanding your consciousness and use your imagination. So you don't want to like, oh, I want to learn how to play the piano, but you want to be open to ideas. And then if something, as your consciousness is expanding, you're going to maybe feel push and pulls from different realities of you. So trust your gut and just go with the flow and you'll jump into a different reality and then experience yourself there. See how people interact with you. Try to like notice things, but like also try not to steer what's going on. And what he says is that there's something called the plat. There's this energy that flows from the back of your head and in between your shoulders. And if you talk to people who have remote viewed or out of body experience, they always talk about the silver cord. It's like an umbilical cord, but it's behind your head that keeps you, your soul connected to your body, basically. So this is like somehow there's some kind of energy, soul energy. I hate to use the word soul, and he did not. But this cord is how you can connect to yourself.
And everyone describes it right there, like back of the head.
Back of the head and the back of the shoulder blades. And so when you're in these different realities, if you can focus on that, you'll take the information in to your cord and bring it back to your reality.
Does how you're sitting, where you are, matter?
As long as your spine is straight and you're loose. Because here's the thing. If you're meditating and you're lying down, your brain will just flip to sleeping because you're lying down. So you have to be like up. And so when you see, watch people do the traditional meditation thing, they're sitting up. But then as soon as you get in the meditative state, you're probably going to slump over. And that's fine. But it'd be better if you were comfortably sit in a newer area that you wouldn't fall into another situation. And they generally have their hands open to, because if you believe that we have these little energy fields around us, then like you have to like help the ball of energy be like focused. That's why they like sit with their legs crossed and with their hands open. And that's like the whole thing is to just be open and be.
And then he learned piano. Like he knew piano after that?
That's what he claims, is that he came back with the information and he's done it a few times, but that's his proof, is it? And so that's why even he claims that he has a popular YouTube channel, because he went to a parallel reality where job opportunities he brought back with him, and he could see the entrepreneurship of one version and taught him how to do it, because he's older than me. Well, it doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. But
he brought back new streams of revenue. And one of them was YouTube.
He learned how to be an entrepreneur like that.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Yeah.
Good for him. Because that's the toughest thing to do in this world, is like figure out how to be famous on YouTube these days. I've been trying to do it since before YouTube was created. I had like a head start and I still couldn't figure it out.
I know, dude.
But I was never like a dreamy teen. And so I just figured... I'm not a dreaming teen.
I feel like I'm constantly ahead and behind of the times, ahead in ideas, behind in action. The coolest thing about this, I think, is that honestly, quantum physics is proving that the state of reality requires your attention. So superposition is weird, because something can exist in different realms, but as soon as you pay attention to it, then it needs to click into to how you're identifying it. And
so that's kind of the evidence of why this works, is because that's a real thing. Like when we observe particles, they act differently. So that's the kind of thesis for this guy.
That's what I'm throwing in there. I brought in this.
And you said Einstein, like that's a legit scientifically proven thing.
It's weird if you dive deep into Einstein and see, because he didn't like quantum physics because he was constantly looking. He could see that there was evidence for quantum physics, but it just didn't match his. And not that he was like cocky, like I'm right. He was a guy that could imagine the universe from the point of the universe. And so I think that there are errors in both in all the sciences still, but I think that maybe it's because we don't understand consciousness. And if consciousness is real and has a power or is a part of the universe, you know, I'm open to the idea that all the energy we have that makes us conscious, the sun has too. So maybe the sun is conscious and creating energy to think and shit too.
Why? Why would you think that?
I like the idea that life on Earth, no matter how different it gets, it still has some of the same qualities. Like picture all these different creatures having brains. It's like it doesn't have a brain because...
Well, okay, but connect that to the sun, though.
So the universe works by just mathematically aligning things. It's like a brain is made...
Well, hang on. Let me just... Yeah. You gather your thoughts. Marika, do you meditate or do you do any kind of...
I should. I don't. I have a hard time. Listen, again, 5-year-old. So there's very rare that I have just a moment even just to like...
Meditation wasn't invented 5 years ago.
Even before that, I guess I've always just been a little busy. But I will say I learned some concept. I worked at Santa Clara University for a couple of years with like the Jesuits. And there was a lot of like meditation. There was like a whole meditation retreat. And I picked up some things there when you were talking, Willie, about like just thinking about you're getting... pissed off that you hear like a fire engine when you're just trying to have this like quiet moment and just thinking about your thoughts like bubbles instead of something that you have to react to in the moment, like something that can just
interesting.
What it is, and it can go away. I wouldn't say I meditate. I should have to create a better practice for that, but I don't know
if you need to beat yourself up about it. I mean, I've tried to meditate and it doesn't really do anything for me. I either fall asleep or I just don't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's for everyone. I think like this guy's version of like traveling into different realities or quantum realms or whatever we're calling them is like his own like, okay, that works for you. I can't imagine a world where I could replicate that.
Yeah, I also think one thing I wanted to clarify in the beginning, and you kind of hit on it, Wade, is like, is this also a little bit about like the power of positive thinking?
Right.
Like, it sounds like it's definitely not. Like what we're saying is you come back from this with like some hard skills that would have been impossible to learn in that 5 minutes that all of a sudden you have. But I do think there is something to kind of manifesting something that you want. Even like affirmations. Like I'll play that with the, you know, as an affirmation. I don't know if you guys have heard
What do you play?
Do it. Snoop Dogg has affirmations for kids. It's really cute. It's like affirmations are positive statements that help you to learn and overcome. You guys should play it, listen to it. But it's like repeat after me. Like there's no one better to me than myself. Yo, like that stuff. But
little cuz, if you want to feel good today, just think about the sun. Like what? What is he talking about?
I like affirmations. Like your teeth are clean. Don't worry about germs. It's like you're manifesting not having to clean.
If you ever give someone an eighth and they don't pay it full price, just let them get it on the next one. This is still Snoop. This is Snoop. My Snoop isn't
that's
great.
His affirmation. That's the adult cut.
Well, I'm trying to think of like what he would even. I mean, come on, man. You lucked into like the perfect life. What did Snoop ever do? He just met Dr. Dre.
Right.
Same with Eazy-E. Eazy-E wasn't good. I'm not saying Snoop's not good.
I mean, I think there's some skill there. I don't know. I appreciate his affirmations.
Here's the question. If you got super famous, could you come up with some affirmations?
Sure. I could come up with affirmations anytime.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I could come up with
make
affirmations.
Make up your own.
Make up
but
my own.
But it's just
going to
be like, keep going, you know? But Snoop Dogg was famous when he was like 22.
I only laugh because Moose doesn't know who Snoop Dogg is. So I don't know. I think that me coming up with him would be more impactful than him hearing Snoop do them.
I mean, yeah, he doesn't really know or care who Snoop Dogg is. He just knows that for a period of like 6 months, I made him listen to it on the way to daycare every day. That's all he knows.
Okay, okay. There was an easy way to do it instead of you like having to write them down and read
exactly.
them while you're
driving. Exactly. And what it does, it's to a good beat. And then you kind of have that in your head all day. That's like, my feelings matter. There's no one better to be than myself. Like, Anyway, so it gives you a, even the rhythm and the beat of it, it just sticks in your head. So it gives that like positive thinking kind of helps.
Okay.
I'm on board. Yeah. So it's like teaching kids not to learn how society works because your feelings don't matter.
Well, that's.
Your feelings should matter. Are you Gen X?
Yeah.
Y'all
definitely get
that's the way the world is, man. No
brainwashed into ignoring emotions and feelings.
I mean, I think we could continue to teach people that and then that their feelings don't matter. And then we'll keep raising little psychopaths. Everywhere.
Oh, I'm not saying no. Listen, I'm just saying like it's a little fairy tale ish to tell these children that their feelings matter. And then they get into the real world where your feelings don't matter. No one's going to fucking care about your goddamn feelings.
Teaching kids how to advocate for themselves, or at least recognizing a feeling and fix it.
Like here's what happens. Here's what happens day one when what's his name? Mateo.
Mateo. Yes.
When Mateo gets hired at my firm, and he comes in, and I'm not saying Mateo is going to be a problem or anything, but if he comes to me and he's like, "I just feel like I'm really sad today, and I don't feel like I can do my work." I'm going to be like, shut up. Do your work, man. You don't think I feel sad every day? And that's how that's going to go down.
Oh, cool. remind me, tell Mateo never to work for Wade. It is. No,
Shut up.
It's more like.
I just lost $50,000 on IBM. I'm sad too.
I'm sadder than you.
This is like the beginning of every, I don't know, horrible movie. It's fine.
It sounds great. I would love for this to happen, but it sounds like multi-level marketing where like this guy's just going to like tell people how to do it. Then they're going to fake like they knew how to do it. I can't imagine meditating and then knowing how to learn the piano. And then also what if like Lost in Translation, you learn how to play the piccolo and then you got to buy a piccolo?
Picture having a thought. Picture imagining something and then add that to the universe and thinking about, do other animals have thoughts and are they just in survival mode? There's definitely, you definitely see animals have thoughts and have fun and whatnot.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And I think,
have you ever seen the bears like play with the balls and stuff?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm all on board going like, I even think that like some bugs have thoughts too. I
wouldn't go that far because that would hurt how often I kill them.
Right. So
I don't want to think like, about that.
If I take the idea.
The poor bugs, but not the poor kid feeling sad in your office.
Oh, fuck that kid, man. He's got 5 digits.
What if he looked like a bug and he was a mantid?
Then I'm like, yeah, you should feel sad. You look like a bug, man. You got it hard. I'll give you anything you want.
When I picture the moments that I've felt the best in my life, it's either from, you know, wedding, sure feeling love child. or connecting feeling to someone.
Love. What does feeling love feel like? I feel like I've not felt love.
Well, I feel like it's similar to the moments of like really good music.
That's so sad. No, we got to stop for that. Wade, never.
No, but it's true. It's true.
No, it's true.
It's just like, I don't think love exists. I don't believe in love.
Have you ever had a song like make your hair stand up on your.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love it.
I think that there's something comparable to that because it's like sure, music. I think music can invoke that. You know,
like what? Like closed off from our emotions. Like a cupcake or something. Like how do you experience like the tangible sort of like I'm listening to a song and it's making me feel a certain way. Give me a specific love. How have you ever felt love? What does that mean?
My bad quick example is Moose will eat sweets so fast and he never shares them, you know. But like I've had a couple times where like he saved me a bite, and I'm just going like
you do really love me with your like, half chewed gummy bear. You
addicted to sugar, not sharing, never give me a bite. And then like one time you thought about I need a piece, and it's like
so I have to have a child to figure this out.
has
which feels like I feel like that's like a cheat because like a child, it's like having a cat. Like yeah, you owe me everything, man.
But. Like, yeah, like has Ollie left you, like caught a mouse and given you? I know she doesn't really go outside.
She doesn't really do that, but no.
How about this? She's walking to her food and she stops to like run her head into you. Has she ever like given you a moment before food?
That's just so that they can wipe their scent on you because they own you.
Yeah.
That's just her saying like other cats stay away. I don't believe in love. I don't.
This is my
it's real.
Food maker.
Yeah. He's the one who gives me the food. No one else. I mean, she does. She does cry when I get home from like I just went to Florida. And I got home and she's always much nicer to me and stuff. One time I put my bags inside and she came running down the stairs and then I had to move my car and she just like cried really loud for me. I guess that's love. I guess it's love.
I know. There's
what did you feel in that moment?
This fucking high maintenance bitch. Fucking what? I got to be there all the time. I'm back, aren't I? No. I felt very nice. I felt nice.
That's it.
But it was almost a guilt. Is love like guilt? Does it make you feel guilty?
Well, I know it's a slippery slope for like codependency. And like sometimes I feel like with children and pets too, it's just like at some point they realize that they can't get this on their own or whatever.
See, this is why I don't understand why you went with the child rather than like your spouse, because that's the love that I'm interested in, because you're not, there's no currency between you two.
I know. It was just a quick example. You know, I'm like, well, I mean,
no, I know. Right. America, what does it feel like to be loved?
Loved. Sorry. No, I think the feeling that you got probably when your cat, you missed your cat and your cat missed you. I do think that like that's valid. I think
it doesn't have to be much bigger than that. It's small.
Yeah, it's the dopamine hit of seeing friends you haven't seen in forever. Like being invited
on your podcast.
Yeah,
but then you're always like, why haven't I seen them in forever? Is it because they hate me?
Yeah, I mean, I was feeling that way for a while. And then
what? Tonight?
Out. No, just kidding. No.
No, 10 okay. years of doing the show.
But love, it's actually kind of scientific, Wade.
I know. That's why dopamine. I don't believe in it, because it's just chemicals. It's just chemicals and reactions. And I don't think it's a real thing.
But it is. Some people will give you a different chemical reaction, right?
I don't know.
You enjoy being around some people more than others.
Yes. Okay.
That's like the start.
Right. Well, I either enjoy being around someone or they repulse me.
Like no in between.
Just like those people. I don't want to look you in the eye. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. Like, I don't like you. You know, why am I in the same room as you? Or like everything's
curiosity
cool.
about them. I don't know. A little like I want to know why they are the way they are. Like I'm infinitely curious about people.
Do you want to know why they make you feel the way that I'm interested in people for sure, but I'm afraid of finding out why I'm repulsed by them, because it probably means they're a pedophile or something.
Oh. Know? Well, yeah, if there's like creepy, of course not, but stay away from that for sure.
Like, I don't want to go down a new tangent, but here's a new tangent that like when I imagine having love for humanity, and would you be able to forgive a human for doing something that repulses you?
What is this? Like, is this your sermon? You have love for humanity?
I'm saying I'm trying to connect to that. Like, this is me picturing Star Trek. How do we get to Star Trek when everybody's bombing everybody right now? And you know what I mean? People are just making bad choices. And it's just like, everyone in those situations is still choosing their belief over other humans. So I'm going like, how do we get to start? Is Star Trek this utopia that we'll never get to because we can't see beyond ourselves, or will we get there as a species? Because when I picture my sci-fi fucking crazy mind agrees that we aren't invited into the Galactic Federation yet because humans don't make those choices.
That comes down to, I don't watch Star Trek, but doesn't that come down to like enlightenment everyone is so far from that. There's not an individual on the planet who's enlightened, right? The Dalai Lama, maybe.
And so I wonder if I enlighten myself, will that be contagious, infectious enough? Because you know, you see those, you know that there's these studies where like if you teach a mouse something, a mouse on the other side of the planet will like learn it quicker, and they think it's connected because of the same species, the energy, whatever. So like if we can enlighten ourselves, we might accidentally enlighten some other people. Anyways, I know that's a whole
nother
thing.
Well, no, but that's like, the goal, right? Isn't that the goal for people like us?
It's hard because in that slippery slope of also being like, well, do I think I'm better than someone else? Because then that drops me back down going like, well, all of a sudden.
No,
vanity.
I think that's okay. I think it's okay to think that you're better than someone else. I feel like that's an enlightened thing. I do. I'm not making a joke. I think like if you make it up to this other level, it helps you look at them on that level with more empathy, right?
Yeah.
So I think looking down at people is actually a constructive thing.
Picture someone arguing about something they believe in. And then picture then going up to the next level going like, well, why argue with anybody? Because you're not going to change their mind. You can't make your experience get pushed onto them. So they have to experience these things too.
That's why I'm telling your kid, man, no, I don't care about your feelings. Because I feel like that would help. I think that would help Mateo in a way.
You're giving him a growing experience.
I'm going like, you know, I'm doing not the fist. What do they
tough
say
love?
About raising kids? Fists or blankets or
what kind of kid? No, what is this? No one talks about fists in parenting. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that might be it. I'm not saying I'm going to beat the shit out of little kids, but it would be fun and easy to. Can you imagine? Okay,
Will, you just said something that was interesting about, do you really think you can't change people's minds? Do you think by having a conversation with them about your experience might open up their world of what they thought?
Well, I think that so many people have been conditioned and brainwashed into not being able to hear other people's perspectives. And so,
yeah, but what if it's not politics? What if it's just like, I really like this candy bar? And they're like, no, there's coconut in that candy bar. And you're like, no, but listen, it's like, forget about the coconut. The ratio of the coconut like really works with the chocolate. Like you could convince someone of that.
Using what you're both saying and me bringing up the idea of taste is so individually specific, even for politics, you know, tastes for politics. Because like someone can tell me all day how these noodles might be good. But I'm like, oh, there's fish sauce in it. So like, I can't taste it. If I tasted it before knowing fish sauce was in it, I would taste the fish sauce.
See, that's what's frustrating about you, because you expect everyone to be open-minded when it comes to enlightenment, but you will not eat a recommended fish dish.
If I don't like it, I'll puke, so hypocrite. I can't even try it.
So what? Puke? What's wrong with puking? Puking is good. It's fun.
That dish is good for you. I like it. You don't have to like it, but we can agree that I can still have it, right?
Oh, for sure. I'm with that.
He
but
can
I'm just
definitely
saying,
agree that. All I'm saying is respect my opinion a little bit. I know about your history. If I recommend you something that has fish in it, maybe give me the benefit of the doubt.
I would
you won't do
try
it.
Some,
you refuse.
I refuse
to do it. You're not enlightened, man. Sorry.
My mouth isn't enlightened. So just my last thought is like, I do feel like the energy that's happening, the thoughts in my head, how can it be so different from the universe I live in? And I go like, oh, maybe there are bigger things happening that we can accept or learn from. So to me, quantum jumping is this crazy outlandish idea, but maybe that's supposed to be part of our experience, but it just never got to most people because of whatever society we live in. We didn't believe in it. It wasn't presented to us.
It wasn't valued.
And so I'm going like, oh, I'd love to try it. Cause my experience with meditation has lessened my anxiety so much that anytime I get too anxious, I'm like, oh, just go meditate and it'll curb it. I just need to do it.
Well, breathing. Listen, I talked to a therapist about, he said it's just all about breathing. He said, like, when you're feeling anxious, it's because you're not really breathing correctly. So if you concentrate on breathing, it makes you
shallow
less
breaths because you're anxious, but like you can like a cat, you know, or a dog when you can.
I don't know about shallow.
Well, shallow breath is you're just like not taking deep breaths. You're not getting as much oxygen or maybe too. There's also the too much.
Well, what he said was smooth and long breaths.
Yeah. So like picture a dog that is not happy and they got their tail between the legs, if you just take their tail and put it up into a happy position, they just get happy. It's like they aren't afraid anymore.
Have you experimented with this?
That can't be true. That sounds so wrong.
Go watch the Dog Whisperer has done it a million times. Yes. And it's crazy going like, oh, we
Caesar Malone?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Caesar something.
Milan.
Milan. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about this quantum jumping thing. I feel like I nailed it from the start. It feels like a self-help thing that could only work for people who can really buy into it. I just can't buy into it, you know? America, yeah, could you buy into it? I mean, you can't even meditate, and neither can I.
Well, I think the tricky thing with this and like any kind of conspiracy-ish, whatever, not exactly, anyway, theory is that
you
can't prove it. Like, it's like at the basis having to be like, well, maybe your mind's just not open enough. I don't know. For me, it would be hard because, well, yeah, but I'm going to have questions about it. I don't know. I'd be curious to know.
So you're a straight up journalist. Like you need like facts to do any of this shit. Well, like you need like a peer reviewed study.
I have feelings as well. And
well, I didn't say you didn't have feelings. Is that what it sounded like?
Like the premise is a little flawed only because you're shutting off. Like if you have to be open enough to experience it, will you ever be able to if you're at least like the tiniest bit skeptical?
Right. And like, how do you take that skepticism out? And that's the problem. It's like, yeah, I really want to be open-minded about some stuff, but like, I refuse to believe that like corn tortillas are better than flour tortillas. Like they just aren't. So I'm sorry. These street tacos are not as good.
It's funny because like
flour tortillas.
I was about to say, if you just keep pushing and keep meditating a little by little, it'll help you grow and grow and grow. But if I ate corn tortillas every day, I would not like them better than flour tortillas. So
yeah, they're not good. So how do you, so we got to end the episode, but like that's the corn tortilla skepticism is the doubt that you experience when you like sit down to meditate and be like, I want to give it its all, but like I can't stop this thing in the back of my mind saying that like, this is nuts and it's not going to happen. And so therefore it won't work. And so therefore, why even try?
Do you need to experience it? Or what if the people you love and trust could experience it? I'm just saying like the thing that's crazy.
That's my whole thing. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. Like if you can do it, please do. I would love to, but I can't.
But if everyone you knew could do it, would it open you up a little more to the possibility?
For sure,
yeah,
for sure.
I know. That's why I'm always like, Share your ghost story. Share your stories with everyone you know, because it's like,
But I don't want to see ghosts, dude.
Yeah, you keep that to yourself, Holy jeez.
Yeah, I don't need your ghost coming around here and freaking me out. I'm all alone here, man. I got my cat. She looks at the corner in a weird way. I'm like, fuck, it's a ghost.
Time for bed.
I'm going to Florida.
Thought I was going to stay up, but I don't want to think about this.
All right, let's wrap it up, America. Do you have any kind of final thoughts on this or anything to plug or any? This is your last chance. Oh, man,
I should have started an Etsy shop before I came. So I had something to plug. Everyone go to like americathejournalistskeptic.etsy.com.
It's just articles about how aliens aren't real. And I don't know. What would be a craft? Like a fucking, what's the
tumblers.
Thing where you?
It would be, I'd have my own, what are they called? Cricut. I'd make tumblers that say, aliens aren't
oh
real.
That's good,
but your feelings are valid. That would be
yes.
Aliens can you sell real,
but your feelings
can you sell
are valid.
Memes yet can you sell memes
you if you turn them into an NFT and you get a thousand suckers.
Only I'll only accept Bitcoin and yeah
that's
I
a
only
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Oh
no, I will say like I loved Quantum Leap and I loved and Sliders is another show I really like.
Sliders, yeah
so I do think I'm fascinated by the concept of quantum leaping. And I appreciate that there's some sciencey truthiness to it in the background. But yeah, to me, it does sound a little bit like positive thinking. And I think that's good. Like if someone
it's good.
Has good goals, like learning to be an entrepreneur or play the piano and this helps them, great. Like you do you. That's awesome.
No, Willie, I got bad news for you. Bitcoin, it exists, and it's at 0.0024 right now. Ooh, the high
time was to
0.005.
buy.
Yeah, yeah, you can maybe double your money. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Marika, thank you so much for being here. And we're going to continue the conversation on our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We'll see what we end up talking about, but I guarantee you it's going to be interesting. So go subscribe. And remember, just because you're paranoid, Willie, doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
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 Real life sci-fi.